Okay. Upon request, we'll talk about Bikur Cholim, which is a topic that you find in this week's Parsha as well as many other Parshas. There are a number of sources that we have throughout the Torah for the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. In general, all of the mitzvahs of Chasadim, to begin with, Chesed in general, is traced to two separate categories of sources. But on the one hand, you have Yahavta L'Recha Kamocha, which the Rambam writes in Hilchos Evel, that's the source for all the concepts of chesed that we have. Everything that we do for each other is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Recha Kamocha. He has a little bit of a cryptic statement after that, where he goes on to say that the specific categories that we have, the Achnasas Orchim and the Bikur Cholim and the Nicham Avelim and the Achnasas Kala, all of that he kind of implies is Drabana, I believe he says Divrei Sofrim. So that's prompted a lot of discussion. Why it is that you should need Chazal to come and set up separate categories if we're assuming that it's all included within the imperative of Yahav Tlarecha Kamocha. So that's a good question. We won't necessarily go into it right now, but just in terms of the sourcing here, so you have the Rambam saying that everything is included in Yahav Tlarecha Kamocha, and then possibly with the Rabbanan coming in and formulating the specific categories, Bikur Cholim included. In addition to the Yahav Tlarecha Kamocha angle, so there's also the V'halachta B'drachav angle, that there is a notion that we should follow in God's path. This is one of the major themes in the Torah, as the Chafetz Chaim writes in Avos Chesed. This concept appears at least 8 times in Sefer Dvarim alone. So what does it mean to follow in God's ways? So the Gemara says in a number of places, a little bit differently in each place, but that the idea is that just like he does chasadim, so we should also do chasadim. Just like he, for example, will visit the sick, so we should also visit the sick. So how do we know he visits the sick? So that's the third source. That's from this week's Parsha. Because in this week's Parsha, so we find in the beginning of the Parsha that Avram is recuperating from his surgery in last week's Parsha. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu Vayera Elav, God appears to him. And Chazal tells us, the Gemara Maseches Bav Metziah, that he came levakir esachol. Rashi quotes a number of mamorim from Chazal in the context of this visit. That he came to visit the patient. So the Medrash HaGadol says, you see from here separately a source for an obligation of Bikur Cholim. And you also find that this is conveyed in the message that Avram has for all the other generations. I believe they also point out that it says elsewhere in Chazal that when God says that Ki Yedatiyah B'Manasher Yitzav Es Banav Yiz Beisu Acharav, that I love Avram because he's going to teach the way to all of his descendants afterwards. So the way is the way of Chesed. And in some places it says they're also specifically Bikur Cholim. So it's two possible Makaros in close succession in this week's Parsha alone. In addition to that, and if you move into Sefer Shmos, so in Parshas Yisro, there's another candidate, because there the Pasuk says when Yisro tells Moshe how he should set up all the court system, the hierarchical court system, and then he says to Moshe, you should teach the basics. You should tell everybody how to be. So what does it mean that Saderech Yelchuba? So the Gemara says, this is a drasha, it appears in Masechet Bava Kamma and the Masechet Bava Metziah, so the derech is gmilas chasadim, because as we've seen already, the derech, the path of God, is the path of chesed. And then the Gemara says a separate limud yelchu, to walk on the path they should walk on, zu bikur cholim. And why is it that bikur cholim is set apart from chesed as a whole? The Gemara explains why. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But for whatever reason, so Bikur Cholim is independently learned out in that pasuk, even in addition to a broader mandate of Chesed. Then there's also a candidate from Parshas Korach. The Gemara says in Maseches Nedarim, this is the most explicit source in Shas, specifically about Bikur Cholim. The Gemara says the whole sugis of Bikur Cholim and the Mems and Nedarim, Mem and Malach Mem Beis. The Gemara says, how do you know that there is a remez for Bikur Cholim? What's a hint? And it's a very obscure hint, otherwise. that the Torah tells us that when Moshe and Korach are in this conflict, and Moshe is describing what's going to happen with the miracle that God's going to bring about, and that's going to prove that he's right. And if this doesn't happen and they live out their natural lives, so then we'll see that Moshe wasn't right. He says, if these people will live out their lives, and as the Gemara explains the language, that they'll live out a natural lifespan, which again you have to read into it a little bit, which means that they'll get old and they'll get sick, and then they'll die, and before they die, they'll be visited by people. So that will show that they survived this, and Moshe says that I'm wrong. So the Gemara says that's a remez for Bikur Cholim, but you see in the subtleties of that sentence that people are visiting other people when they're sick. And Maritz Chayis writes in the back of the Gemara over there that remez in this context, what's the power of a remez? What does that mean? A hint. So what does that do for us? So it says that means it's halach l'mosh misinei. And others explain that it means that this the Torah is conveying that this was always the practice, that this is a long time thing already. People have been visiting people who are sick. And as Nassim Gestetner points out in his Sefer on Nedarim and Nassim Pirio, that by recording this practice in the Torah, that also gives it a status of a mitzvah. One further source is, as some point out, that, as we'll discuss, there is a life-saving component to Bikur Cholim. Mar says that explicitly in Adarim and elsewhere. If you come and you visit somebody who's sick, you could be saving their life. They could be bringing back health. So some understand that the obligation of saving a life, of Hashiv Osula and other related obligations, include Bikur Cholim. There's a little sefer in Hilchos Bikur Cholim called Yikara Dechai, I believe. It's written by Rabbi Chaim Bernstein. So he suggests that there's different types of Bikur Cholim. So there's a type of Bikur Cholim where there's nobody around to take care of this person and you're doing everything. So that's mamish like Pikuach Nefesh. And then there's a Bikur Cholim where the person is being taken care of and you're adding a little bit. So maybe that's a more basic kind of Bikur Cholim. But in any event, so we have too many sources. We have quite a large selection, array of sources to understand Bikur Cholim as some kind of obligation in HaTorah, that either subsumed in broader directives of Yehav Torecha Kamocha, V'halachta V'drachav, derived specifically from this week's parsha, either from God's visit, or from Asher Yitzavah's Banav Beisav Acharav, or from the Pasuk in Parshas Yisro, or from the Pasuk in Parshas Korach, or from the general obligation of life savings. That's roughly seven possible makoros that you could have for this obligation. Some point out that the psukim in Yisro and the psukim by Avraham Avinu, maybe we shouldn't assume that anyone's saying that that's the source of the obligation. That's referring to the obligation to pass on this concept. So Avraham's supposed to pass it on, so to speak, vertically down to his generations. And Yisro is telling Moshe to spread it around horizontally, spread it around to the people who are alive at that time. So he should teach all the future generations, tell all the present people that there is this major concept, the concept of Bikur Cholim. So that's why many understand that this should be counted in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, either separately or as part of a broad concept of Chesed. And this is clearly something that we hold very, very high esteem. So having established that there is on some level or on many levels or from many different directions an obligation of Bikur Cholim, so the question could be raised, so what exactly are we trying to accomplish? What is the goal of Bikur Cholim? So here you find a lot of possibilities as well. And a lot of them are based on the Ramban. The Ramban has a sefer Torah Sa'adam. The Torah Sa'adam is a sefer the Ramban wrote on Avelis. But he also talks about everything related to Avelis. He talks about what Al-Islam leads up to it, so people being sick and Bikur Cholim and things like that. So over there, he lays down some of the different reasons why you might want to visit somebody who's sick, why what you're trying to accomplish with Bikur Cholim. And this was adopted in the Tur, in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah. This made its way into the later code. So just on a very basic level, so you're there for support. just to give the person a little bit of chizuk. And some point out, I believe in the Sefer Minchas Aaron on Bereishis, he points out that the Ramban is perhaps expressing his shita here. If you look at the Perush Ramban and Chumash in this week's parsha, so the Ramban explains Vayera Elav Hashem, that God comes to support Avram, to give him acknowledgement for having fulfilled the mitzvah of Milah. So since we know, the Gemara already tells us that this visit was a visit of Bikur Cholim. So apparently, it's what the Ramban is saying, that part of Bikur Cholim is to be mechazek somebody with your presence. And the Rush writes, the Rush has quoted as a commentary on Chumash, that's from the Rush and from the Bali Atosus. It's called Hadar Zakenim. So in this week's Parsha, in Parsha Yair, the Rush writes that if you come to visit somebody and he's sleeping, so you're still Yotzei because they'll tell him afterwards that you were there, and therefore he'll get the support of your having been there, even indirectly. Yes, sir.
I don't mean to be far-fetched, but maybe you could even be mechalik here to two separate inyanim. First, there's the inyan of giving chizuk.
Yeah.
And then after that, then we still have standing alone the inyan of Bikur Cholam also. And then maybe you could say that there's a separate thing to... It doesn't say anything about being mechazik, saying, good, you did a mitzvah, and then after that there's also Bikur Cholam.
It could be, except that it sounds like you're assuming that the visit has two purposes.
Two purposes.
That visit, God.
It doesn't necessarily have to be connected to
could
the
Could be, but then you're not much to say that. I mean, maybe it works well to say that this is how he was being Mavakar Sahola, which would be one thing. Okay, could be. Hi.
In terms of not having to actually to be there when the person is awake, the nafka means in terms of today when we have phones.
So we'll get to phones, God willing. So that's a big question. That's a very big topic, as we'll see. So we'll try to get to that. So, in addition to that, so there is the theme, which the Ramban and others again build on, that you are there to help the Chola. And you're there to help him, apparently, at least in two different broad ways. One, naturally, and the other, supernaturally. So what do you mean by supernaturally? So to talk about that for a few minutes, you find that there's a tremendous emphasis in the halacha of Bikur Cholim that you should daven on behalf of the cholim. And it's less explicit in the Gemara, it's more from the Ramban and from others. The Ramban has this language which the later codifiers quote, that whoever goes to visit the cholim and doesn't daven for him, lo kiyam es ha-mitzvah, he's not mekayim the mitzvah. Which sounds like, if you read it the way it sounds, it's a very harsh statement. That sounds like if I drive 6 hours to go visit somebody and I spend 10 hours visiting him, and I drive 6 hours back, but I didn't daven for him, so I didn't do anything. That's what it sounds like. So not everybody was so comfortable with that, and they figured out different ways to read it. And just before we get to that, so what's the source for this idea that we have to daven? So the Gemara has a statement, which the Vilna Gaon in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch quotes as a marker for this idea. The Gemara says in the Darim that he shouldn't visit somebody during the first 3 hours of the day or the last 3 hours of the day, which, as the Aruch HaShulchan and others point out, we don't mean 3 hours, we mean Hashol Zmanios. So we mean the first quarter or the last quarter of the day, you shouldn't visit. So why not? So they explain that we're assuming that the reason you have to go is to daven for him, and therefore you want to get a clear picture. So if you're going to come at the beginning of the day, we're assuming that people get worse as the day progresses. So if you come at the beginning of the day, so he looks a little better than he really is. So that will skew your perspective. And if you come at the end of the day, he's going to be very tired, he's going to look worse, and you'll give up on him. So in order to get an accurate picture, you should come in the middle of the day. And that way you'll be able to daven properly. See, one of the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch is called Shevet Yehuda. It suggested that maybe you should just be makabel on yourself that you'll daven either way. So I'm not really sure what he means by that, because presumably the whole understanding is that, yeah, you could daven either way, but you're supposed to daven in a context with an emotion that is inspired by what you see. And if you could just be makabel on yourself to do it, then you could just pat yourself from the whole visit to begin with. So presumably it means you really have to try to go and get an accurate picture and daven accordingly. So when the Ramban says that if you don't do this, so you're not mekayim the mitzvah, so does that mean that it's mamish like nothing? So on the one hand it sounds a little bit like that, and the truth is there's an even more extreme statement in the Taras HaMincha. Taras HaMincha was written by Rabbi Yaakov Ben Sakili, who was a student of the Rashba, one of the Talmidim of the Rashba, as a sefer of a drashos in the Parsha called the Taras HaMincha, where he has an even more extreme formulation. He basically says that if you're not going to daven for the chola, so it's better you shouldn't go at all. So that's less than saying you don't accomplish anything, saying it's bad. So why shouldn't you go at all? So he sounds like he's saying it's kind of hypocrisy because you're pretending you care and then you don't really care because you don't care enough to daven for them. And if we assume especially that the whole, one of the whole goals of chesed is valachta bedrachav, you want to create a compassionate personality like God, so then this, to not daven for the person who's sick, as he understands it, that's an act of achzarius, that's cruel, and that's the opposite of what you're trying to accomplish. You're not trying to create a personality that can come see somebody suffering and not daven for him. And if that's the way you're going to be, so then it says the Taras HaMincha, it's not kedai even go at all. So that's one way to see it. That's the most extreme way to see it. It's worse than not going at all. Ramban's language sounds a little bit like it's worth zero. And then the later Sfarim didn't feel like that's necessarily the case. And they thought that maybe the Ramban was talking, and there's some girsos that support this reading, that maybe what he meant is that there's an additional mitzvah to also daven for the chola. And if you don't daven for the chola, so then you haven't fulfilled that additional mitzvah. You've certainly fulfilled something, but this mitzvah of davening you haven't accomplished. If you look at the Sefer Charedim breaks things up into different categories. So he actually has four separate mitzvos about Bikur Cholim. There's four separate commandments. So one of them is to daven. So there in his formulation, for sure, it's a separate chiyuv. And you find in some of the later Sfarim that some of the contemporary Sfarim, Hillel Bikur Cholim, I believe in the Pnei Baruch, for example, so he really softens the language. I think there's a whole discussion about this in the Haskama to the Pnei Baruch. So Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher was dying in the Eid al-Haredis, has a Haskama to the Pnei Baruch where he gets into this issue, talks about what it should say and what it shouldn't say. So I believe the language he has there, that the Pnei Baruch has there, is something like whoever goes without worrying about the needs of the Chola and doesn't daven for him. So he broadens it to, it's not necessarily just that you don't daven for him, but that you're not motivated by the right reasons in general, so then that's a problem. That's considered to be a major deficiency in the needs of the chola. So whether we say it's everything or not, it's clearly a big deal, and we find that there are a lot of halachos within Bikur Cholim that reflect the fact that the room and the bed of the chola has a status like a shul. The Gemara says that the Shechina is there. The Gemara talks about where you should sit and how you should dress, and all suggests that there is an atmosphere of a base knesset a little bit around the chola, that reflective of this idea that the davening is a major concern. And there's a discussion in contemporary poskim whether you fulfill that when you say something to the chola. Do you fulfill it by saying to him, "Yishav Rufuah Shleima"? That's a tefillah. Or is it that a bracha, that not a tefillah? There's all many different approaches to this issue. So if you daven there, you should daven elsewhere. You have to be careful because you have to use a seichel, because if you start davening in his presence, even though that might be appropriate on some level, you could also scare him a little bit. So you have to clearly use seichel as to how this is done. But there is an extensive discussion about how you best fulfill this idea of davening for him.
So if you're... It's different than the question I asked before, but if you're...
Go for it.
If you're only misfollow for a chola and you can't, haven't gone to see him, is it possible you're still...
So it might be that you're fulfilling something, and it might be, you could suggest that that's the whole mitzvah. It's hard to say that. It's hard to say that even if you don't go when you could go. If you can't go and that's the most you can do, then maybe so, which we'll tie into something that we're talking about. But I think the whole notion of tying it into tefillah has to do with the fact that you have to get an accurate picture and then daven. But of course, sometimes it's not possible for you to go at all, so that has other issues to it, which we'll which we'll talk about. So we mentioned natural and supernatural, so natural is also a thing. So there are others who understand, and this is also within the words of the Ramban, but others focus on this more, that maybe the real reason that you're there is to give physical assistance, is to see what needs to be taken care of and to try to take care of it. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that this is the ikar of Bikur Cholim. The main thing of Bikur Cholim is to go and to try to find out what needs to be done. And there are many Svarim who point out that the language Bikur, so we normally translate that as visiting the Chola, but there are many Svarim who suggest that it's not about visiting, that Bikur means to investigate, it means to look into the situation and see what's wrong, so see what's needed. So therefore, maybe that's what this mitzvah is, to go and to check what's going on and to see how you can properly respond. Reb Chaim Kanievsky was quoted in the Sefer Derech Sicha. He says, further than the Rush, he says that when the Rush says, if you go and he's asleep, you're still Mekayim the Mitzvah because they'll tell him. So he writes, even if they don't tell him, you're still Mekayim the Mitzvah, because this idea of being inspired to daven for him or to do something for him, so that you can still accomplish. Some point out that maybe this is derived directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu again in this week's parasha. Because if you look at the whole progression, the way Chazal explained, so first God thought that he'd give Avram a break, kavyachol. He thought that he's sick, so instead of having people on the streets where Avram's going to host them, so the Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the sun out of its covering, and he made it to be a very hot day, so people were not traveling, and that way Avram had a break. And then it became clear, so to speak, again, that Avram was miserable without visitors. So then things changed, and then these visitors show up. So apparently what's going on is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit. And again, this is all, there's a lot of discussion in some of the Mefarshim that it's hard to really attribute some of the motives that we have for Bikur Cholim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, you talk about davening, so he was going to daven to himself, what does that mean? Or to see how he's doing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything, so what does it mean to see? So different ways of interpreting how this is a model for us, whether maybe it's Davka displayed in a way that we can relate to what's going on, but some of the purposes that we have are hard to really attribute directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mr. Chasitzchak points that, and then Shuv and others point that, so it's a little bit derech dugma, whatever that means. But in any event, here apparently what seems to be happening is our perception is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is visiting him and saying, okay, so he needs visitors, so I'll give him visitors. So sometimes you go and you see the guy needs ice cream, you see he needs reading material, so you'll provide him with ice cream with the reading material. So here Avram needs to do chesed, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides him with the chesed. So some understand from here that this is being modeled, that we come to see what the cholah needs, and then we try to provide it. There is a that's why some suggest there's also a discussion if the chola is not able to know that you're there. I mentioned before about the point if you're sleeping, but also it might be that it, in general he's not shaykh to know that you're, he's not shaykh from to know you're there. Maybe it's an infant, or maybe the person is comatose, so they're never going to know that you're visiting them. So still, because of all these additional benefits that you'll be provoked to daven and you'll be able to take care of them, so then that's still a fulfillment. And some point out that all the more so that when it comes, let's say, to an infant, so the infant's not going to know you're there, so then everything else is the most you could possibly do for this patient, so therefore that's a complete fulfillment of Bikur Cholim. There are those who wanted to suggest, at least as a havamina, that maybe nowadays, since people are in hospitals, and hospitals you have professionals taking care of them, and they're not going to let you do too much, so that maybe the mitzvah Bikur Cholim is not really applicable in its full form today. So I don't know if anybody really concluded that way. I don't think that was taken as such a convincing argument, because first of all, the premise is a little shaky, that the assumption not going to let you do anything is not true. Maybe they won't let you operate, but they're going to let you fluff up his pillow and do other things. And also, if you believe that davening is one of the main purposes of that, for sure you can do. So I don't think this was too convincing, this idea that it should be at all mitigated by the hospital, but this is a discussion that some have a little bit. And Adarabba, the truth is that in all these cases, so as My father always pointed out from his many Bikur Cholim visits that even if the patient has no idea what's going on, but the doctors and the nurses are going to give better care to somebody who they see is visited. If they see people are concerned about this person, so they tend to take better care. And if nobody comes, then they tend not to worry as much. So the more you can show up, the more you show that you care, so that has an effect, and that's very important. And the Gemara that we mentioned before about not visiting the beginning of the day, the end of the day, so the Rambam interprets it differently than we mentioned before. He sees it as not about davening, but he sees it as about helping out, that during the middle of the day and the end of the day, so the attendant is already there, people are being taken care of during that time, so you want to come during the middle of the day when they're not being officially taken care of. So nowadays we don't really stick to those limits. The Aruch HaShulchan said it was more advice than an actual din. Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld has a tshuva that nowadays the hospitals have set visiting hours, and that replaces this whole system. But the point is that the hours that are most conducive to properly helping out and properly davening, so that's what we try to accomplish. And there are other purposes as well that are also mentioned, but these are the main ones. They also talk about talking to the chola. Conversation is very important. The Rambam says to make him laugh. Laughter is the best medicine. Rambam has this in his medical writings, that you make the patients laugh. That's also a big thing. I think Rav Shlomo ben Gavirol, in his listing of the mitzvos, so he talks about, he says you should give tzedakah, and you should be Menachem Avelim, and you should be Mevaker Cholim. So he has, it's a poem, it rhymes. So he has a language like, V'hadalim terachem, V'ha'avelim terachem, V'ha'cholim tesichem. So you should have rachmanis on the people who are poor, and you should comfort the mourners, and the people who are sick, you should talk to them. So this idea that conversation is a major thing that's very helpful, so that you find also. So you find also, they point out a lot of other things that you can do, but these are the major broad purposes that you find that the poskim emphasize when it comes to the mitzvah bikur cholim. There is also a very mysterious concept which the Gemara Nadara mentions, that there is a concept that whoever comes to visit the chola, so he's notel 1/60th of his illness. So the Gemara says, so great, so you get 60 visitors and he's all better. So not so fast, so it keeps readjusting. So the first person takes a 60th of what is there, then a 60th of what's left, a 60th of what's left, etc., etc. But also the Gemara says that you have to have a certain characteristic. You have to have a characteristic of a ben gilo. So what does it mean, ben gilo? So I think what we're used to learning about this is the more mystical type of pshat that the, I believe Rashi has over there in Adarim. I forgot about anyone that some of the Rishonim have in Adarim. That it means that you share the same mazel with this person. You're born on the same day. So that makes the whole idea sound very mystical. But some of the Rishonim don't understand it that way. They understand it that it means that you are either you're of the same age group, or it means that you have a similar temperament. And then it's basically saying that by visiting the person, it becomes a very rational idea, that by visiting the person, so you make them feel better. And if you're a person who they get along with well, so then all the more so, you'll have a greater effect. Not that it's trying to say that you will absorb some of the illness. It's unclear from the Gemara. The Gemara says notel, it means you take. So what does it mean, you take? Mean to take away, or you take for yourself? So most of the Mefarshim understand that it doesn't mean that you absorb it into yourself. It means that you cure him, so to speak, of some of it by the way that you relate to him. There are those who have more creative interpretations of what it means 1/60th. The Maral has an approach that the Gemara always says 1/60th when it means that something that's similar to something but not really that thing. So like if you say that sleep is 1/60th of death, so it means it's somewhat similar to death but it's not really. So too, when you come and you identify with a person, so you take in a little bit of his illness but not like you really are getting sick. It's that you're identifying with him and that helps him. So the problem is though that the Gemara in Bava Metzia does sound like it is dangerous for a ben gilo to go, because mentioned before how the Gemara has a separate drasha that Bikra Cholim is learned out from the Pasuk in Yisro separately from Chesed as a whole. So the Gemara asks that question, why do I need to know Bikra Cholim outside of Chesed? Isn't that included in Chesed? So Chesed, the Gemara explains, Chesed is normally limited that I don't have to do something for somebody if it's going to be harmful for me. But when it comes to a chola, Bikra Cholim, so it says even Ben Gilo. And what it sounds like from the Gemara is that even though a Ben Gilo will run the risk of absorbing some amount of the illness, still he's mechuyev to go. That's an exception from the normal rule of Chesed. You're not normally expected to go and do something if it's going to hurt you in some way. But here, this is the exception. So how did that shdim with some of these pshatim? You have to figure out. But that's a whole discussion what exactly this thing of Ben Gilo means to convey. So either it's something to do with their interpretations of the more mystical, super rational kind of idea that you are sharing a mazel and you are absorbing some of the illness, over to a more rational type of approach, where we say that you are of compatible temperament or age group, and therefore you're able to bring more nachas ruach to the person, and he will feel better that way. So there is a whole discussion also, what do we mean about, we talk about visiting, so how much should you visit? So there is a language that the Gemara has, and Mefarshim talk about, that you should go even 100 times a day. So what does that mean, go even 100 times a day? So first of all, Tzitz Eliezer writes in his Shuvah that it just represents the idea that you should be aware that people's condition can change in a minute. And therefore, you have to be on top of that. And it's not enough to say, well, I was there already this morning, I'm pater. There's no upper limit to how many times you can be there per day. Especially because the Rambam then goes on to say, that you can't be a burden. So that's a big challenge, to come 100 times a day and not be a burden. So how exactly do you pull that off? It takes a lot of skill. I thought maybe you could say that that's pshat on 100 times a day. That the Gemara has in Maseches Erchin, the Gemara has a discussion about tochacha, and it says on the one hand that you shouldn't say something that's not going to be effective. Kashem mitzvah lomar davar hanishma, kach mitzvah lo lomar davar she'ena nishma. You shouldn't say something that's not going to get through. But the Gemara also says in the context of tochacha that you should be mochiach somebody even 100 times. So it sounds like a steer. So if you're not supposed to say things that aren't effective, so what's going on with 100 times? So Rav Bakshi Daron has in his Chuvas, in the Chuvas Bin Yanav, that the Gemara is telling you how you should do the Tochacha. It means that you should say the Tochacha in such a way that even if you were to say it 100 times, it's still not going to get on the person's nerves. It's still going to be effective. So too, maybe you can say that's pshat here as well, that the type of visit that you should do, it should be so pleasing to the chola and so not annoying that even if you came 100 times a day, it's still going to be welcome. But nonetheless, there is this major point that you have to know what you're doing and you have to make sure not to be matriach. And the Rambam says that if you become a burden on the chola, so you're not yotze, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. So that actually seems pretty intuitive. So what's the Rambam coming to tell you? So there is a sefer that came out recently, a big, thick sefer on Hilchos Bikra Cholim, is written by Yaakov Meir Farbstein. And there he suggests that maybe the Rambam is saying that even if you manage to accomplish other things for the chol, let's say you go to visit the chola and you take care of his needs and you annoy him at the same time, so if you're a burden on him, even though you accomplished other things for him, that's still not a kiyum hamitzvah, which is quite a statement. The Rambam, when he describes going to visit the cholas, he says you go in and you do what you do, whatever he says, and then he adds viyotze, and you leave. So some svarim note that that seems redundant. That's telling you what happens. That seems extraneous. He's telling you what happens after the mitzvah. Why do I have to be told and then you leave? Other mitzvahs it says that, and afterwards you talk about it. What's the point of that? So the Brisker Rav is medayik, because that's also part of the mitzvah, that to know when to leave. That's also a part of Bikur Cholim. And they say, a little bit as perhaps a joke, I think the Ksav Sofer quotes that he heard this line from Baron Rothschild, that the Gemara Hadarshan, the Gemara that Bav Mitzi and Bav Akama that talks about Yisro's line, is Haderech Yelchuba, the path that you shall walk on. So he says, what's Pshat Yelchuba? He says, you have to know when to go. That's also a part of the mitzvah, Yelchuba, to know when to go. So all of that is included in this idea that you have to have this careful balance, that on the one hand, in theory, you could be productive in visiting the person many, many times a day, but you also have to know that even in your first visit, you have to be careful not to be matriach, and if you are, then you're really missing the point of what's going on. You've all heard the story about somebody who calls the Rebbe and he says, I want to come visit you, and the Rebbe says, I'm not interested in visitors, and he keeps pushing, I want to be kind of mitzvah, bikur cholim. Rabbi says, you know, I'm not a lulav. It doesn't work that way. It's not a chafta shal mitzvah that you come to be yotzei. He said, if you have to fulfill the needs of the chol, and if it's not what he wants, so then that's not going to be productive. Along those lines, there is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah quotes from the Ma'aril. Now, what happens if Rachman al-Aslan, the people are enemies? Let's say a person is a sone, if you can imagine such a thing. So the person who's sick and the person who wants to visit, they don't get along. So the Ma'aril says that's okay, you can still visit. And the Ramah says he's not so sure it's such a good idea. So as the Shach writes over there in on the Ramah, that really it all depends what we're talking about. Is it a type of enmity that if they come into contact, they're going to get aggravated? Or maybe we should say, like there's a commentary in the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Hillel writes, appropriately named maybe in this context, that maybe this is an opportunity to make shalom. So you have to figure out, you have to have chachma to know exactly how this could come across. Diad Shol, Tshuva Sholom Meshev, of Yosef Shol Nathanson, in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch, so he notes that maybe another reason to be careful about this is that you don't want to scare the chola, that if the chola is realizing that even his worst enemies are coming to visit him, so he might think that he's really in very dire circumstances. So maybe that's an Indian to be careful about and to not scare him off. So you have to, again, use chachma towards that whole parsha, how exactly that should be handled. So there's a lot more to talk about, so just without going too late, we'll mention also, so the question about the telephones. So the question about whether you can mekayim the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim with a phone call, so that there is an extensive literature about, many, many tshuvas written about this topic. If you look at the tshuvas, you'll see one of the reasons that there are so many tshuvas about this is because they were all written to the same person. That somebody wrote a letter to Rav Moshe Feinstein and to the Mechas Yitzchak and to Rav Yonason Steif. He wrote a letter to a lot of poskim saying, what do you think about this question? Can you be mekayim Bikur Cholim with a telephone call? So they all answered him. So there are different nuances in the poskim, but most of them can be categorized as saying that you are mekayim bikur cholim, but they could do better. That they've gone through all the purposes that we've talked about for what the mitzvah is about. So they suggest that you can be mekayim something by talking on the phone, but if you can come in person, so you'll be mekayim more. So it's not really a good replacement for coming in person, but it's clearly better than nothing. So the nafka mina is very mild, because everyone, or a large consensus among the poskim, seem to agree that if you come in person, that's better. But if you can't, it's better than nothing. So it's hard to come up with a practical difference between these opinions, even though they approach them differently. The Minchas Yitzchak, in his tshuvas, he suggests that we mentioned before about coming 100 times a day. So he says maybe the initial visit, that should be in person. But then these follow-up visits, that could be on the phone. There are those who suggest, based on the Marsha, that maybe, with the mentioned before, the joke of the Ksav Sofer's citation from Baron Rothschild about Yelchu, meaning you should go, but maybe Yelchu does mean you should come. That maybe the whole drasha of Yelchu means to say that really Bikur Cholim should involve going somewhere, and if you're not going somewhere, maybe there's something missing. So there is some discussion in postal along those lines that maybe Yelchu should be taken somewhat literally. And in addition to the points that we've mentioned, so there are some on either extreme. For example, Rav Asher Weiss in his Sefer on Chumash, and Chalkas Yaakov also in his Tshuvas, they think actually that you're not Mekayim Bikur Cholim by not going in person. There are other things you can accomplish. It's a little chesed to call up somebody who's sick. But Bikur Cholim has a specific surah to it, which means you're actually going to go. And if you don't go, it's a different mitzvah. It's a chesed, it's something else. And on the other extreme, you have Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner in his letters, in his Pachad Yitzchak Igros Uksavim, So he says the opposite extreme of the other poskim. He says that Bikur Cholim on the phone is a complete fulfillment. So because he understands that Bikur Cholim is about checking out to see how the Chola is doing. So therefore, if you do that, if you make a phone call, you can find out everything you need to know, he says. So therefore, it's a 100% fulfillment. Which, again, is more extreme than what the other post can write. That it's something, but it's not everything. It's also interesting, because in that same letter, by Nicham Avelim, he says the opposite. The Shaila comes up by Nicham Avelim also, of course. So that Rav Huttner actually says, by Nicham Avelim, a phone call is nothing, and by Bikur Cholim, it's everything, because he understands that Nicham Avelim has a specific format of coming to the house of the Chola. This is that you can't be Makayim at all on the phone, and Bikur Cholim, you're Makayim completely on the phone. But that's a separate discussion, Bikur Cholim. Before there were phones, there were letters. So Poskim talked about letters along the same line. Letters are a little bit less shaykh, because if the whole goal is to send a bracha to the Chola, so then there were Poskim who thought maybe you could accomplish that with a letter. But presumably you're trying to find out something, you're trying to interact a little bit, so a letter is a little harder to do that. Email might be a little better. Maybe you can get a more immediate response on email, maybe not. But that's a question. Along the same lines, they also raise the issue, what if you want to send a shliach? So is Bikur Cholim something that is done through shlichus? So there was an exchange on this topic between Rav Tamashov, who wrote the Tshuvas Avnei Shoam, and Rav Yaakov Traub, who wrote the Tshuvas Avnei Yaakov. So the Avnei Shoam thought that shlichus doesn't really work, because this is essentially a mitzvah shebegufo, that really you have to appear in person. So if I send a shliach to visit, so then the shliach is mekayim Bikur Cholim, but I'm not mekayim Bikur Cholim. While the Avnei Yaakov took a little bit of a different angle towards it, he said in theory there might be some room for some kind of shlichus, not in the classical sense of shluch hasham kamoso, but it depends how it plays out. So for example, if 30 people say to me, could you please represent us and visit this guy? So by the normal rules of shlichus, that could work. 30 people can appoint me their shliach. But as far as Bikur Cholim, so I, one person, show up in this person's hotel room, in this hospital room, excuse me, and I'm representing 30 people, so it's not likely that he gets the nechama that comes from 30 visits. But maybe he gets a little bit more. So that if I convey that all these people are worried about him, it might be more than one, but less than 30. So it all depends on how much of an impact you're able to have. There is a discussion, the She'iltas. It's not clear where he gets it from, but the She'iltas has a statement that when you go to see a Chola, you should bring somebody with you. You shouldn't go by yourself. So it's not clear where that comes from. The Ragachavar in a Sefer on Chumash, it's Tzoftes Paneach, he suggests it comes from a pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, that when Yosef went to visit his father, went to visit Yaakov, who was sick, so he brought his kids with him. And the Rabbi Chavar understood that was this din, that you shouldn't go alone. So why shouldn't you go alone? So it's not clear. Some suggest it's because every visitor takes away some part of the sickness, and maybe you'll spread the wealth, so to speak. Others suggest, I think Rav Asher Weiss has in his Sefer, that this is also because of the goal of tefillah. That even though normally we assume that either you're davening with a minyan, it's tefillah satzibur, or you have less than a minyan, and even if you have nine, that's still called a yachid, it's not tzibur. But he quotes an idea from Mordechai Benet that if you have more than one, that's also called rabbin. It's not a mitzvah, tzibur, it's not a minyan, but it's also rabbin, so maybe two people is kedai. So this is not really brought by poskim so much, and to some extent you might say adarabba, that you really, it's really preferable if you stagger your visits, so you don't come the same time as other people. Because first of all, you don't want to waste the value of your visit to have to come when other people are there, already taking care of him. And also, you can inhibit conversation one way or another. So it's in practice, you don't really find people being so makbid on this. Just to quickly mention one or two other points, so there is a whole discussion poskim have. It's an extensive discussion about whether it's kedai or whether you're mechuyev, whether you're allowed to visit people who are contagious. If you're putting yourself at risk by visiting, so do we assume the mitzvah will protect you, or do you say you don't have the right to do that? So there's a tshuva the Ramah has. The Ramah seems to sound like you should visit people no matter what, that there's no patur based on contagious diseases. And a lot of the later poskim weren't so sure, and they didn't feel you necessarily have a right to to risk yourself. There's a tshuva about this in the Chemdas Tzvi, where he is very, very emphatic about the need to stay away if somebody is contagious. Yeah.
No, none of those tshuvas that nobody says that shlichan etzem yizaken.
So the Ramah kind of sounds like it a little bit. I don't know if he specifically quotes that idea, but you would probably say that it's a case if it's contagious. The Gemara already says that if it's Shchiyah Chazeka, that if it's likely that you get hurt, so then there's no Ptur of Shlucha Mitzvah and Nizokin. So presumably a person who's contagious would be in the category of Shchiyah Chazeka. So it's important to point out, as the Sfarim continuously do, that even if you're in a circumstance where you can't visit, either because he's contagious or because he can't make it, or because there are times when you're not supposed to visit, if the person is embarrassed, if the person doesn't want you to come, all kinds of reasons why you can't come. So the post can point out, you're not putter, you still have all these other components that you should still try to find out as much as you can, and get as close as you can, and try to daven on his behalf. Everything else still applies, even under all these circumstances, when it's not advisable, for whatever reason, for you to come on your own. There is also a discussion that the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Yud Beis, that the Gemara has a little bit of a cryptic statement, because machlok is between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai about whether you should visit Cholim on Shabbos. And then the Gemara has this line that Bekoshi Hitiru Levaker Asal Cholim Lenachem Aveilim B'Shabbos, that in the end they reluctantly allowed visiting the Chol on Shabbos. So there's a little bit of a discussion in the later Svarim. So what does that mean? Does that mean that the machlokus was you definitely should go, or you should reluctantly go, or you shouldn't go, or you should go reluctantly? So what does it mean that we paskin you should go, or you should go reluctantly? It's not really clear what that means. So the Shari Tshuva on the Shulchan Aruch has a line where he says that if you're a very sensitive person and you're going to be upset and it's going to shter your own Shabbos, so then you shouldn't go. And it's Hitzeliezer in his Tshuvas, he doesn't like that. He says, no, that's the whole suffix in the Gemara, that clearly that's the whole issue, that it might shter your own Shabbos, and yet we assume you should go anyway, that we assume that the chesed that you're going to do for the chola is going to outweigh the risk that it has to your own Shabbos. Rashi in the Gemara brings up the issue also of tefillah on Shabbos for personal goals, it's not really the right time. So it's a discussion how you balance the problem that Shabbos is really not the ideal time for some of the goals of Bikur Cholim with the fact that at the end of the day, or during the day, we permit you to go. So the way the post can formulate it, you see that basically it says that really you shouldn't go on Shabbos except for everybody. What do I mean by except for everybody? Well, the two categories of people who should go on Shabbos are people who couldn't make it during the week, so better to go on Shabbos than not to go at all. Or people who are going regularly, so they go every day, they go Shabbos also. So that basically includes almost everybody. So either you can never make it, or you making it regularly, so both those categories should visit on Shabbos. So who's excluded? It seems to just be excluding that somebody who's going to go once, and he could equally go any day, so then maybe Shabbos is not the best one day to pick. But if Shabbos is the only day you can go, or if you're going every day, so then it seems to be pretty much agreed that you for sure should go on Shabbos.
Be enough goes between the reasons that you really wouldn't be able to do any of the physical help.
Well, it depends what kind of physical help. You know, certain things.
You really care.
Certain things aren't malachas anyway, and also sometimes they're heterim for tzarchei chol, depending on what kind of things we're talking about. So it's not necessarily the case. So you know, there are many things you can do, and it's really actually it's the tefillah that's a bigger problem, because really tefillah we try Shabbos Yom Lizok, we do it under the right circumstances. So that's Rashi and the other Rishonim bring up that issue in this context, and that's part of the balance that we have there. Okay, so it's already late, so let's just to quickly chazer a little bit. We spoke about the fact that this week's parsha is one or two of several possible sources for the obligation of Bikur Cholim. We have Malach Devedracha, we have Loriach Kamocha, God's visit to Avram, L'man Yitzav Esponiv Beis to Acharav, Yisro's advice to Moshe, the remes from Parshas Korach, and the idea of saving lives. All of these are considered to be possible makoros. And then we talked about the different reasons as to why you have this mitzvah. Either we're trying to bring chizik to the person, or we're trying to daven for the person, which may be reflected in the fact that the Gemara says certain times you go, certain times you shouldn't go. We discussed the Ramban's very strong formulation that if you don't daven, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. So we discussed, on the one hand, there are some who say that even more extremely, that it's better not to go at all if you're not going to daven, and others who water it down a little bit and say you're not mekayim the extra mitzvah, or it only means if you really don't care about it at all, you're not mekayim mitzvah, but don't necessarily put the exclusive focus on davening the same way that it sounds from the Ramban. And there are others who say that really emphasis on physical assistance, like the Aruch HaShulchan, and like many who interpret Bikur that way. And some explain that's also what the Rambam explains. It's also why the Gemara limits it to certain hours, which can be more conducive to that. We talked about the fact that the Din and Poskim about if hospitals nowadays make a difference, and it's hard to say that they should. We talked about visiting people who are comatose or infants who are not going to know that you're there, and we mentioned many different reasons why that's very much the Toelis as well. You know, we talked about the idea of conversation and about making them laugh and all of the related goals like that. We talked about the concept of the Ben Gilo, different ways to understand what a Ben Gilo is. Either he shares the same mazel, or he shares the same age group, or he shares the same temperament. Therefore, different ways of understanding what the benefit is of visiting this person. Many understand that we shouldn't assume from that Gemara there's any danger to the visitor, but the problem is the Gemara of Messiah kind of sounds like there is, so you have to figure that out as well. We talked about how much is enough and how much is too much. The Gemara is saying you should come even 100 times a day, and what does that mean? And perhaps it's a question of how you come across. We mentioned the comparison possibly to Tochacha, and we talked about the idea that you shouldn't be a burden on the Chola. The Rambam said if you are, you're not Yotze. Sounds like even if you are accomplishing stuff, but you're a burden, then you're still not Yotze. Why the Rambam has the language of Yotze at the end, that you should know when to leave, like the Brisker Rav says. And also the kind of joke idea they say from Yelchu. Yelchu means you should know to go. So we discussed all those concepts, and then we talked about the issue of visiting an enemy, the Maril and the Ramah's position on this, and the Shach's understanding of different circumstances, and the Beis Hillel's idea that you should make peace. The Yad Shaul's concern that you're going to scare the guy off, or you're going to scare the guy by showing up in such a climate. And then we talked about the question of phone calls, how many posts can address this issue, and many of them can be grouped in the understanding that it's a key of something, but not everything. The Minchas Yitzchak suggestion that the first visit should be in person, follow-up visits can be on the phone, and that there are some on the either extreme of this issue as well, like Rav Asher Weiss and the Chalkas Yaakov, who say you're not Makayim Bikur Cholim at all if you don't go in person. It's a chesed to call, but it's not Bikur Cholim. And Hutner's other extreme, that you are completely Makayim Bikur Cholim through the phone. And he also says the opposite by Nichem Levelim, parenthetically, which is a separate discussion. We talked about how this deen is also there by letters. Letters probably are a little bit less effective than phone calls, or significantly less effective than phone calls. We talked also about the question of shlichus, how the Avnei Shalom thought that this mitzvah should be gufo, so the shlich didn't fulfill the mitzvah, not the mishalech. And the Avnei Yaakov, who says that really it all depends on how much of the effect can be conveyed by the shlich. If he can convey a greater effect because of who's representing, so that's valuable, but presumably it's not going to be the same as all those people coming themselves. And then we talked about a few other questions about the Shiltis' idea that you should go with somebody. We talked about what the possible mukkah for that is and whether that's always the advice or not. And the question of contagious diseases, that was machlokas aposkim. And then the question of Shabbos, the Gemara has this line, Bekoshi Hitiru. We're not clear whether that was to one side of the machlokas or the other. The Shari Tshuva's line that you shouldn't go if you're very sensitive and it's going to strain your own of Shabbos, and how Sittel Yadza didn't like that because that's the whole question, and still we say you should go, and how it basically comes out in the halacha that no one should go on Shabbos except for everyone. The only people who should go are people who either didn't visit during the week or did, and really it only would exclude people who are only going to come once and randomly pick Shabbos as opposed to any other day. But other than that, you probably should go, and that's what, you probably should go, and that the only it comes out from the way different posts can qualify it, that on the one hand, if you can't make it during the week, you can only make it on Shabbos, then you should go. It's better than not go at all. And also somebody who goes every day, goes all the time, so he should also go on Shabbos as part of that cycle. So who's it excluding? So it's really only excluding, let's say, somebody who can go one time, and he's going to pick a random day, so better not to pick Shabbos. Because of the various tensions that they're there in terms of Onik Shabbos, in terms of Tefillah for the Chola, which is compromised on Shabbos. So all of that is a tension that we're balancing, but that also reflects some of the varied goals that we have towards Bikur Cholim. Okay, so we should all be zocha not to need any nabakrim in the sense of choli, but we should all be zocha to be mekayim the mitzvahs of chesed as effectively as possible in the image of Avraham Avinu. Okay, so God willing, next week we'll.